Today on Hardwired.
David said, I shall not be moved. Is your faith alive and well today? Or is it being moved? Are you producing fruit? Do you allow affliction and persecution to drive you away from God? You say, well, Pastor, wow, I hear this and all these soils and this different thing, and I'm hearing this about the rocky soil and how the plant was plucked up from it because it didn't have any roots. How do I get rooted? How do I get roots down and be sure that I'm not one of these?
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Well, we're going through one of Jesus' best-known parables, the parable of the sower, where Jesus describes four different hearts that respond to the Word of God in four different ways. And everybody listening to me right now, including me, are one of these four. We will be one of these four. There's no way around it. So today we're going to talk about a man that I'm calling rootless. He heard the Word of God. He rejoiced over the Word of God. But when tribulation or persecution arose because of the word, he fell away and walked away from Christ. And so he never had roots. I can't wait to share part two of the message, Rootless. Let's go right to our continuation in the parable of the sower.
This is a very, very important parable. As I've already said, you're all in us. We're all in one of these four. Now, let's break it down again so that we can understand this crucial foundational parable. Jesus is the great sower. He tells us that when he begins to interpret this parable for the disciples. He says that he is the great sower. And because of the great sower, every one of you have been born again. Simon Peter wrote, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word of God. What I'm doing right now is I'm sowing the seed of the word of God into your life. It's either being received and acted on and brings forth fruit, or it is being deflected by a hard heart or a distracted heart and or a shallow soiled heart, and it won't produce any fruit. So he's the great sower. We're saved because he sows the gospel seed into us. Now, once you're saved, you're a sower. You are a sower. Every Christian is a sower of the gospel. You have been called, no matter what you do, what your name is, what your background is, your educational level, doesn't matter. If you're saved, you're called to be a sower of the gospel. The seed sown is his word. The gospel of the kingdom, it has power. There is no word on earth like this one right here. There is not a word like this one. The Bible says of this word, it is God-breathed. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God who moved on holy men of old, and they wrote down the scriptures as God moved on them. And what you hold in your hand is a great big sack of seed. It is the word of God. It's precious. You ought to hold it close. You ought to read it every day. So you're a sower of that seed. Now, the soil that it falls on is the human heart. And Jesus is telling us that four different things happen to the seed sown because of the condition, four different conditions of the human heart. He says there's four kinds of human hearts or soils that the seed falls on. The wayside soil, that's the first one, the roadside. Talked about it last week. If you weren't here, you ought to grab the CD. The wayside soil, roadside soil, is the light, flippant, indifferent hearer. upon whom no impression is produced. They can sit in church all their life, and they're never changed by the Word of God. It falls on a hard heart. They never receive it. It never impacts them. They never act on it. They somehow believe it's not for them. That's the roadside soil. The stony soil, the one we're going to talk about today, is the heart that exhibits a fleeting feeling at the appeal of the gospel. Paul the Apostle warned Christians about the shallow soil. Listen to what he said. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Rooted. Everybody say with me, rooted. Rooted and built up in Him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Rooted and built up in Jesus. Not rooted and built up in a little bit of Jesus, little bit of Islam, little bit of New Age, little bit of Buddhism. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to get bolder as time goes by because it's time. But listen now. Muhammad did not die for your sins. Buddha did not rise from the dead on your behalf. Confucius did nothing for you. There is only one God and one Christ and one Messiah and one Holy Spirit and one salvation and one way to heaven. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So you've got to get rooted and built up in Him. Deep roots. That phrase, rooted and built up in Jesus, reminds me of a great big tree in my backyard. When it was first planted, I gave it no hope. Little skinny thing there in the yard. I said, Kathy, nothing's ever going to come of that. We've been in the same house 19 years. And you know that tree now is gigantic. The birds of the air take refuge in it all the time. And I've seen huge storms come through. And listen, no wind blows it down. No storm uproots it. It may bow and it may bend with the windy tempest, but it stands right back up again. Do you know why? Because underneath are roots, wide roots, deep roots. And that tree basically says, give me all you got. You can't knock me down. And that's the way every believer ought to be. Let the winds blow. Let the storms come and let the floods beat against my house of faith. It will not fall because it has been grounded on a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be uprooted. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to break. I am rooted in Him. We can say with David, I have set the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Church, can I tell you something today? You're going to have to get here because the winds are blowing and the rain is falling and the floods are beginning to beat against the church in America like never before. And I'm going to tell you, you're about to learn what it means to either have roots or be plucked up. And I don't want to see one person in this congregation plucked up, blown away, offended, tripping over the winds of persecution, over the floods of disdain for your God and your Christ and your salvation and His blood. No, I want to see you standing up and saying, fire me for the name of Jesus. I don't care. I am a believer in Him, and I'm not ashamed of Him. Persecute me, mock me, ridicule me. That's all right. I'll take the smile of God over your smile any day of the week. I am His, and He is mine, and His banner over me is love. And I don't care what you do. I'm walking with Him. Say, well, Pastor Jeff, you're getting a little melodramatic today. Oh, am I really? Are you watching the news? Are you reading what's going on? This week, I read about an actress, a soap opera actress. In the Days of Our Lives, I believe that was a soap opera. 59-year-old lady, committed Christian. They came to her with a storyline that was very positive and very pushing the gay agenda. She read what they wanted her to act out. She said, I cannot do this. They said, why? She said, because I'm a committed Christian. I can't do it. And she was fired. She was written out of Days of Our Lives and fired. And I thought about that story when I read it, and I realized that's going to happen more and more and more. We do not have a government right now that smiles on our faith. We do not have a government that is pro-Christian. We do not have a national education agency that will give one inch to the word of God or to the name of Christ. Our courts are booting God out. Our culture is turning its nose up at God and throwing the Bible out and not even allowing you to say the name of Jesus. It is time for the church to stand up and speak up and put on the armor of God and say, I'm a believer. I feel it coming, and I'm sharing these things with you because I want to see you not just survive, but thrive. David said, I shall not be moved. Is your faith alive and well today, or is it being moved? Are you producing fruit? Do you allow affliction and persecution to drive you away from God? You say, well, Pastor, wow, I hear this and all these soils and this different thing, and I'm hearing this about the rocky soil and how the plant was plucked up from it because it didn't have any roots. How do I get rooted? How do I get roots down and be sure that I'm not one of these? I'm going to give you one simple suggestion. Are you ready? You got to understand the terms of the agreement to follow Jesus Christ. See, I get the impression when I read this parable, notice he says, this person is filled with joy. They're excited about the Lord coming into their life. They're jumping, they're twirling, they're shouting, they're into it. But it says, but when persecution and trouble arises because of the word in their life, they become offended, they stumble, and they walk away. I get the impression this person is surprised. Oh, I didn't know that I was going to be persecuted. I didn't know I was going to have trouble. You get the impression they're taken off balance and taken aback because they didn't understand the terms of the agreement. You know how you don't get plucked up? You know how you stay? You know how you stay fixed in Him and you're never moved? You understand the terms of the agreement. I'm going to give you three of them real quickly. Here's the terms of the agreement. How many of you in here want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? How many of you are a proud follower of Jesus Christ? How many of you can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Here's the terms of the agreement. Are you ready? First of all, Jesus said, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You know what that is? That's one of those promises you don't want to name and claim, because it's a promise. Jesus said, you see what they've done to me? You see what they've done to me? The light came into the world and they rejected the light because they loved darkness more than the light. You see what they've done to me? Ridiculed me, made fun of me, ultimately crucified me, harassed me. You see that? You see that? If they've persecuted me and you're following me, you got the same light on you that I had. You've got the same word in you that I brought. They will also persecute you. That's the first term of the agreement. You're going to be persecuted. I found this out in college. Oh, man, let me tell you something. They're not just itching to hear about Jesus in any college you want to go to. And I was a witness in college. And everywhere I went, I talked about Jesus. Well, by the end of the semester, not very many people were talking to me interested in calling me over to the table to have lunch with him. We don't want him over here because he reminds us of what we have not done but should do. He got right with God and he's in the light. Oh, I don't want anybody reminding me that I need to come out of the darkness into the light. So, dude, stay over there alone. I found out that you get persecuted. Had the whole class walk out on me one time. Whole class. The whole class. And the teacher, too. Because I started talking about Jesus. I'm serious. I had my own little film crew. My bachelor's was in radio, TV, film. And so at the end of the class, the film class, you had to do your own film. And so I decided, well, hey, this is college. These people are intellectually curious. Not. So what I'll do is I'll do my film on all the incredible prophecies that came to pass when Jesus was born. Surely they will go, wow, really? I didn't know that. Not. I had my little cue cards. I was the talent, had a camera person, had an audio person, had a director. I had several people involved in the class with my particular movie, my film, 3 minutes long. The rest of the class is sitting over to my right. I'm the talent. The cue cards go up, and I start quoting Isaiah, and I start quoting Micah. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth, whose goings have been of old, even from everlasting. I thought, surely these keenly, intellectually curious college students will marvel that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just like the word said. I started hearing noise over here. I said, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. And you shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, this was at Christmas time, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end, Isaiah 61. And I hear more noise. And finally, my production's over, and the lights come up, and nobody's there. I look, and it's just empty seats. I look out here, no camera person. They couldn't take the light because it was dark. Now, I wasn't being weird, obnoxious. I was being very intelligent, very verbal, very suave with it. Only one girl was left, and she was a believer. And she said, Jeff, I'm sorry, they all left. I said, where's the teacher? He left too. And I just was crushed. And I walked out in the hall. I'll never forget going out in the hall. And they're all lined up against the hall, you know, sitting there like this, foot up against the wall, smoking their cigarettes. Wouldn't even acknowledge me as I walked by. I went and I'm driving home and I'm feeling like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Holy Spirit said, you didn't do anything wrong. Didn't I tell you if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you? They did to you what they did to me. You did just fine, son. And the Spirit of God and of glory rested upon me. So I know. All right, quickly, here's the second. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble because of the word in your life. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Trouble in this world because of your faith is one of the terms of the agreement. Here's the third one. Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. A cross to carry. Your cross to carry. Your cross isn't my cross isn't your cross. You got your own, and I got my own. A cross to carry is part of the agreement. If you don't understand you got a cross to carry, and you don't learn to carry it, you will be rocky soil. You will be plucked up by the roots. You will not continue with him. Now, what is the cross? Let me tell you what it means. Taking up the cross means that at every turn in the road where there is a contest between your will and his, you pick up that cross of self-denial and you choose the will of God. Watch this. you're in a relationship that you want. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, that's not glorifying me. You say, well, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. And you continue in the relationship. He comes knocking again and says, I don't guess you heard me. I don't like that relationship. It's not glorifying me. I rebuke you, devil. Get away from me. A few days later, he comes again. I don't guess you're understanding. This is me. Hello, Jesus, your Lord. This is not glorifying me. Now you have a choice. Because what is the cross? Jesus chose the cross in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if this can be taken away from me, take it. But if it can't, not my will. Hear that? But your will. The cross has to do with your will. So here comes the cross. The cross will come to you at every juncture where your will is in conflict with God's will. And you'll hear the voice saying, pick up your cross, your cross. This is yours. Nobody else has got it. This is you. This is your life. This is your cross, your decision. You got to pick it. If you don't, I assure you, you will be the loser. If you pick up that cross and follow him, it will sting, it will hurt, it will crucify your flesh, but you will live. I want to tell you from over a quarter of a century of preaching and 38 years of walking in the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen this. Anytime you don't choose the cross, you're the loser. Anytime you choose the cross, you're alive and you're the winner. The narrow road, which is the crossroad, leads to life. And so finally, you say, okay, I hear you, Lord. I'm picking up the cross. No matter what I feel in my flesh, I'm going to carry the cross and follow you. And you find that just a ways down the road, you look back and you say, oh, Lord, thank you that you stopped me from that. Because now I have joy and I have peace. And I'm good soil. I'm bearing fruit. That's the term of the agreement. This is why they fizz and fade and fizz and fade and fizz and fade and fizz and fade. Now listen to the promise and I'm closing. Jesus said, most assuredly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife. That's not saying leave your wife. Talking about going off for the gospel's sake, or children, or land, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but he will receive 100 times more now in this lifetime. Did you hear that? With persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. We call this the hundredfold promise. Can you imagine? Every time you pick up that cross and you follow him, that means you walked away from something so you could walk towards something. You left one thing so you could pursue another. You let one thing go so you could pick something else up. And when you do, and you pick up that cross and you follow him and deny yourself, in this lifetime, you get 100-fold in return. Now, if I'm a businessman, I'm in. If I'm a businessman, I'm in. Because how can you go wrong with giving up one thing and getting 100? Those are incredible odds. Jesus said, with persecutions, you're going to get 100-fold in this lifetime. Can we stand together? That's how you avoid becoming the rocky soil. That's how you do it. Amen? So say with me, persecution. Trouble in this world because of my faith and the cross. Those are the terms of the agreement. If you accept those terms, sign on the dotted line, accept them. And you know what? You'll never be plucked up. It won't ever happen. You'll be the good soil.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.